Well, we are back, huh? We're back at the Nine Club, everybody. Listen, today, oh man, we got a special guest, Mr. Adrian Lopez, is sitting here in the hot seat, boys.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
How are you, dude? Hey, thank you so much for coming by.
No, I appreciate
this.
This
is amazing.
No, thank you for making that drive.
It's a little bizarre being here, but good to go.
Yes, dude. Old Zero Pro, fucking.
Still,
oh my
aboard.
God. Well, that's true. He's still fucking riding. I'm just saying, though, the heyday,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. Fucking good old days.
Thrill of it all.
Hell
fucking.
Yeah. Misled youth.
There you go. There you go. Oh, yeah.
So many good ones, man.
Iconic.
Yeah,
iconic. Well, speaking of driving up from San Diego, you're from down.
Yeah,
you're from San Diego.
Yeah. I'm in North County, San Diego now. So it's Carlsbad area. It's close to like Oceanside.
Okay.
So, but yeah, been there since 2001.
But you were from SD.
Yeah.
Deeper
so
SD.
Race. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So been down south. Been like Rancho Penasquitos, Poway, all over the kind of kind of bounced around until. About 2000, or no, sorry, I got to like Poway's when I started skateboarding. That's kind of where I settled in.
It's funny, I've never even heard of these places.
Yeah,
I've never even heard of, like,
there's little pockets throughout San Diego.
Yeah, I guess
that,
so.
Yeah, most people have, yeah.
But how far away are these pockets from each other? Are they close, or are they, because San Diego's not
honestly,
that big.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. At that time, I called it all San Diego. You know what I mean? Like wherever I live, it's just San Diego. But yeah, they're all 15, 20 minutes tops from each other.
Okay,
but,
that's
but yeah.
Bad.
So it's all, you know, to me, it's all San Diego.
I barely make it down there, bro.
Yeah.
I barely.
Not too many people do.
Make it down there.
I'm the same way coming up here.
Like I see that Long Beach sign and I'm like, ooh, I get the jit. I turn around. You know what I mean?
No,
it's
no.
Too far.
You start getting scared when you're hunting.
You guys get scared. So, I mean, growing up, I mean, obviously, you picked up your skateboard when? What year?
Or I'd
what
say age? Fourth, fifth, grade was when I picked it up, so it was a little bit, what is that, 12 years old?
Maybe like 10 years old.
Yeah, about 10, 11 or so. Yeah. So,
okay.
So it's around then. It's right before, I just remember it was before going to middle school, and that's when it really kicked in for me, like fully fell in love with skateboarding.
Oh, wow.
Sixth grade is when, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a little off and on for kind of going to how I started skateboarding. It was, or got into skateboarding. It's, you know, obviously the typical, your older brother had a board, but it was just around and never really got into it.
Okay.
So at some point, there's some guy in our neighborhood that just, I just gravitated towards.
Oh.
Our neighborhood was a little mixing pot. It was like government funded apartments, which kind of brought in a mixed crowd of everybody, you know? So it was like a little bit diverse. So, but this one dude that just stood out, he was just a pretty unique dude. And John Crumley actually ran him not too long ago with, he was with Willie Santos. Anyways, so he was the one standout dude in our neighborhood, and for whatever reason it is, I kept my eye on him, and he was always skating around, and he was doing shit that I know, was just, even though I look back on it now, I was just blown away. Like, I can't believe he was doing shit that was just way ahead of his time. So that was one thing where I just remember seeing with all the people in our neighborhood or whatever, there was this one dude that just was skating. And then
was he the same age as you, or the
no
older?
He was definitely older,
definitely,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, he was probably my older brother's age, which, you know, it's kind of honestly, it was one of those things where I think I went between being, you know, looking up to my older brother, mm-hmm. and then seeing this dude. It was one of those things where I was like, man, this dude's cool and he's doing this and whatever. And honestly, he ended up having this pretty hot chick in our neighborhood too, where I kind of put two and two together, and I just honestly, it was one of those things where I literally was just like, oh fuck, man, like all this stuff I've been seeing before or whatever. It's like, wow, this dude's, So I was fascinated by what this
his skateboarding
doing.
And he's pulling in these hot chicks.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds good. Who was better at the time? Your brother? He was older than you.
Yeah.
So he was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he ever really got into it.
Okay.
He was, it was one of those things where my mom got him a board and it just sat around.
Yeah.
You know, I'd seen it there and whatever, but it wasn't until I actually saw this dude, Mike Crumley, skateboarding and doing his thing where I was like, fuck, man, that's really cool. And how does he do it? And, you know, so that's when I started looking into things.
Were there other kids in your school that were skating as well? Because this guy's older than you at the time.
Yeah, I mean, there was people skateboarding, but not in my crowd, you know?
Okay.
So it wasn't until I got my first board and I just fell in love with that shit instantly, you know? So after that, it became nothing else mattered, you know, anything I was into before. So that became kind of how I made my friends moving forward.
Gotcha.
You know, and it really took me out of what was going on in my neighborhood and all that kind of shit, which was cool. And
yeah.
So yeah, it's just rap.
Do you remember your first board?
Yeah, I do actually. It was a first real board.
Yeah.
Was John Montesi.
John Montesi.
Yes, super random. But actually, yeah, I caught up with him not too long about that one. But he, yeah, it was, just remember walking to the skate shop. It was the first time I actually got to pick any board I wanted. It was obviously just graphic based and whatever. But,
the one with weird alien on it?
No, you know what it was? It was full, like, graffiti, like, yeah.
Slick bottom?
Yeah, slick bottom.
Then moving forward, obviously, you're getting better at skating. You're getting better.
Yeah, no.
Was there, like, a skate shop that was...
Yeah, no, for sure. I fell in love with it, and that just became it. You know, I was really into soccer and everything before that. And then, all of a sudden, you know, everything gravitated to skateboard, and all my friends were that. And my crew was... I honestly was very lucky. I fell into a good crew of friends that were really into skateboarding.
Yeah.
They, you know, after... You know, I don't think we jumped into straight filming and all that stuff right away, but we took it pretty serious as far as us really loving skateboarding. So it was like one of those things where we imitated our favorite pros and all that kind of shit. And, you know, hope, you know... If there was happened to be a demo or something in town, we'd chase it out however far it was. We'd make a point to try and go and check that kind of stuff out.
Yeah. Do you remember the first pro you ever met?
First pro? I would probably say Willie Santos.
Really?
Yeah, because I used to skate this in Rancho Bernardo. It was Webb Park, and he would be there.
Just fucking it up.
Yeah, he'd fucking destroy it.
Is that the park with all the ledges?
The benches down the
stairs. Yeah, all the benches. Real rough, and like, it was an amazing spot, though. You know, if you figured out how to skateboard there, is.
Oh, the one in his birdhouse park where he kept
playing? Exactly.
I always wanted to go there.
Yeah, no, dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wish there were spots like that.
Like, that bench looked heavy to put down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
Oh, yeah, no one's going to move it back.
That was an old deal.
What was the skate shop you were first went to when you were...
Wave Lines. Yeah, it was actually this one in Carmel Valley, like Carmel Ranch, and it just had popped open, and at that time, I actually was a little bit older, I think... 13-ish, 12-ish or so, and I was actually maybe 13, 14, skating with Mike Fitzgerald. Some of you guys might know
him through
Trans World.
Yeah.
Blair Alley and all those guys. And then, this shop opened up, and before they even opened up, we just started localizing it and just made it our home. And eventually they told us, like, hey, we dig what you guys are doing, and we want to hook you up with the boards or whatever.
Oh, really?
Discount. I mean, it was discount.
Sure, that kind of stuff.
So, but we thought we made it then, so.
That's so sick.
But at this time now, are you filming videos and stuff?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, a couple of our buddies had cameras, so we were always like, just whenever we had a camera, we just fucking milked it. You know,
filming each other.
Just loved that shit. So we made our own little home videos and all that kind of stuff. And
dope.
I'm sure we showed it to the shop or whatever, but
just keep that discount going.
Yeah, exactly. just keep up. That. Yeah, oh yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
You'd get another percent on that discount.
Yeah. Yeah. That was huge.
But so were you trying to actively get sponsored?
No, it just happened with everybody filming. I think filming was just one thing in its own. It's just like, hey, so we could check ourselves out later and
see
how it goes. But no, I don't think that was until later on. We just, I think for me personally, it was more when I ran into a couple pros along the way is when it actually got planted in my head, like, oh, that could actually... Do something with that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, down there, you got Willie Santos. I mean, scene's that's popping what I'm saying, down there. So
at the same time,
it's not like this far-fetched thing.
No, that's
right?
What I mean. But at the same time, I looked at it where it's like, I'd go to Webb Park, you know, the spot I'd skate all the time, and there'd be pros there every weekend. You know, I'd skate there, you know, during the week or whatever, but weekends we'd have all these people coming through. So I never got too jaded on thinking, like, oh, you just got to meet somebody and whatever. You know,
right.
It's like, man, okay, well, I'm fortunate. I see all these guys all the time. But it just never really hit me that I could be part of that.
It was almost like you were taking it for granted a little bit. They're always there.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a big deal.
No,
it wasn't a big deal.
No, I don't know if it was more big deal. It was more, I don't know. I just saw them on the regs where I was like, man, like they're just so fucking good. And then they got their thing going. I'm not going to try even, you know, whatever.
Sure.
I just didn't see myself going that route.
Right.
You ever buy stickers from Willie?
Yes, I have. I love Willie, though. That's the thing. I know the stories. They've all gotten around, and yeah, you know, he's had its moments, but Willie was one of those dudes where he took the time. I wish I learned, you know, a few pointers on, you know, saving and whatever else from that guy, but he you know, he took the time to pick up a lot of people, take them skating spots that they would have never got to skate because they'd just been stuck in their bubble. So
sure.
Yeah, he charged her some stickers and stuff along the way. But no, he's a great dude. So yeah.
What is that? No, but I mean, I think we all went through selling shit. Yeah. Like, no, I would sell. Sure. Yeah. But I mean, what was it, like a dollar per sticker?
Yeah,
like
a buck, yeah, yeah.
He would sell you a whole
pack? I think it was a dollar, but then yeah, maybe the hookups ones are a little nicer. So
We'll have Willie on and then talk about his entrepreneurship. Yeah. Well, so were you going to LA back and forth at this point in time, or were you still kind of stuck down there?
I mean, I'd make my 14, trips to LA. 15? I mean, we always had a couple friends in our group that had cars, gotcha. And we'd always, like, you know, whenever we could, we'd make it up to LA and skate all the girl spots and all that stuff. Like, okay. We'd go to Santa Monica and the courthouse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was at the time, too, where I remember, like, you know, we, especially me, I was definitely the younger dude in our group where I couldn't even tell my mom that I was going to LA at that time. That's, you know, one of those things where it's like,
you'd be grounded.
You know, yeah.
Just going to the skate shop, Mom.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, yep. 2 hours drive. Yeah, you're fucking in L.A. Yeah, but that's just how it goes, right? You got to get... what are you going to just leave you at the... what spot do you skate all the time?
Web.
Park, yeah. No. Yeah. That was early yourself? On. I think that once I got to the age where I realized, you know, you could take city buses and all that shit. Sure. That was a big one for me. I took city buses around San Diego.
You get a bus pass?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. That's how
I... You got to pay for transfers and all that.
That's the thing. One bus pass. Where I was at, too, to even get to, like, you know, when once I hooked up with Jamie, like, that's what I did for about 2 years was literally bus ride. I'd save all my money from Monday through Friday, my lunch money, and then every Friday, I'd take the bus to Jamie's house in PB, stay there the weekend, return Sunday night.
What's PB?
So, Pacific Beach. Yeah.
Pacific Beach.
That's where Jamie was when he...
How far is that from your spot?
That's, if you're just driving, probably 35 minutes or so.
So that's a long bus ride.
Yeah.
It's a good hour and a half.
Oh, bus ride. Yeah, no, that's like...
You got to stop every block.
Transfers and all that. Sure. Longer than that, I would say.
Damn.
But yeah. So that's how I got around, and I made sure I skated all over.
And PB back then had a lot of spots, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I mean. It's like, dude, once you made it to Jamie's house or PB in general, it's like there's shit there. Hmm. Took the bus downtown San Diego, skated all day.
Well, it sounds to me like you're taking the bus, what, by yourself? All your friends didn't skate anymore?
Well, no, at that point, I had hooked up with Jamie where I made it a mission. Like, it was one of those things where he was working on Welcome to Hell. And at that time, I was actually on Flow for Toy Machine. So for me, it was like I was venturing out there for biz. You know, I was like, I was like, you know, I had my head fucking, as stupid as I might have thought, I was gunning for, you know, Toy Machine. Fucking Welcome to Hell crew.
Where, sure.
You know, hanging out with my friends was, you know, one of those things where they all they were still skating, you know, but they knew all that.
You were going on your own mission.
I could, you know, like, potentially ride for this or whatever may
come.
And
you can't bring your whole buddies with you on these trips.
I wasn't that dude.
This dude's a kook.
I wasn't that dude. I was so nervous to even be in that mix anyways. Sure. It was insane. You know, one of those things where, missed the crew. I mean, dude, we had, like I said, we had such a solid crew. We all filmed each other, made all these videos, but I think once I linked up with Jamie, it was just one of those things where, like, fuck, I'm going for it.
No animosity between the friends.
No, not at all. No.
Were they going out? Were they sponsored too?
I'm talking, these are guys like even like Mike Fitzgerald and Blair Alley, who are now in trip. Like, sure. They knew it. They were just like, stoked for me. I'd go out and venture and stay with Jamie over those weekends, but I'd be skating with the gnarliest dudes, you know, your Artos and whoever came about with that mix. And, you know, that'd be my weekend, and come Monday, I'd have stories for days for everybody.
Sure.
It's just free, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you're just...
Were you on Entity before?
Yeah. So, yeah, that I was on Entity for about 6 months or so before I met, you know, Jamie and the Toy Camp. Mm-hmm. So I was riding with those dudes for a bit.
Yeah. How did you get on Entity?
Through Willie. Actually, not through Willie, but I was skating with Willie, and it was me, Jason Carney, and this dude, June Kate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was the main pro on Entity, and he, I don't know, we skated that day, and we were just cruising around, and I ended up filming a bunch of stuff, and then at the end of the day, he's like, hey, what do you think about getting free boards? And I, like... Of course, I didn't even know how to register that. I was just like, fuck, that'd be amazing. You know, whatever. And he didn't really finish up what he was going to say. So, after that day, he just kind of, well, you know, I'd be stoked to maybe send you some boards or whatever. And nothing really happened for a few weeks. So I kind of was fucking just tripping, like, talk to my friends. I don't know. Should I hit them up? Like, yeah. Whatever.
Should I go get another board at a discounted rate, or should I go?
Yeah. So I thought something was coming, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, I swear I hit him up. I think he was just probably working it out, but I was just like, fuck, man. Like, this dude told me, like, I thought, I was like, oh, man, this is my first fucking go. So I hit him up, and then he never hit me back. But then all of a sudden, a box showed up at my house, and it was a welcome note and all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
So,
like a welcome to the team?
Yeah, welcome to the team. Wow. Note. Yeah,
guy doesn't call you back and just write to a note.
So, yeah, I show up. You know, it's actually funny. My older brother, I got home, and he had went through the shit already. He opened it up.
It didn't even have his name on it.
No, didn't have his name on it.
He knew what it was.
He kind of knew what it was. Yeah, so he's like, look, excited or whatever. And I come up, he's like, you got all this fucking da-da-da-da. Like, you know, I think there was like 3 boards and a couple sets of wheels and stickers or whatever.
Well, that's what you think.
Yeah.
That's not what you think. You could have got it. Could have been a lot more.
Yeah, so then, so I got home, and, dude, mine was blown. I mean, dude, I fucking saw that thing. I looked at that thing on my bed for like an hour and a half. Like, just like,
didn't want to touch it.
God, I was probably like 13, 14 then.
Oh, so this is kind of happening pretty quick.
That's the thing, dude. From when I started skateboarding and actually, like, it just happened quick. I swear it's like, it happened really, really fast, you know? So,
you must have been the best dude in your crew. I mean, you must have surpassed them.
I was skating. I mean, we were skating flat ground and stuff. So, I think I had my, I think whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Bag of tricks.
You were doing well.
It did happen quick. So it's like all this shit was just, it was a lot to deal with and just very exciting. I mean, I went from like watching all these dudes in the Mac to literally like overnight, like I'm literally staying at Jamie Thomas's house and I'm, or whatever. I mean, even before that, like I'm with Willie Santos and Jason Carney and then this and that. And then thrown into like, oh shit, you're talking with Jamie Thomas and the Toy Machine dudes and this and that.
Well, how did that come about?
That one, that was like I said, I was on Entity for about 6 months. And I made my rounds throughout San Diego everywhere. And I maybe ran into Jamie once or twice before I formally met him.
Okay.
He was actually at Webb Park like a couple weeks before I properly met him.
Huh.
And
you knew who he was.
Yeah. You know what? I did. It was right after, it was right before his Trans World interview with the, like, you know, where he shaves his head and all that shit. So I didn't catch that till after the fact. After everybody told me, like, oh, that's so and so. I remember he's had this, you know, he's rad though. I remember just seeing him, like, fuck, dude, that's like, I haven't seen anybody skating looks like that and that way, ledges and whatever. So I was definitely intrigued. And then it wasn't until a few weeks later, just by chance, I ran into him at Sarah High School in Terracina, which is like,
all the ledges.
Yeah, the ledges and stuff. Yeah. A lot of Peter Smolik's Willie stuff. Like, it's fun, super fun spot. That was our go-to.
This episode is brought to us by AG1. It is very important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for years I have been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands out there, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. It's also researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. I know that I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard, guess what, typically only tested for 10. That's why the 9 Club has partnered with AG1 for so long, because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get your free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/9club. All you got to do in your URL, type drinkag1.com/9club at checkout. Go give it a try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I was filming with a buddy, and he showed up. I think he had another toy member with him. And then, as I was filming with my buddy. He just asked to film me instead of my buddy. He's just like, hey, do you mind if I film him?
That's so sick.
Yeah.
So,
I Jamie like, move right there.
Yeah. 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 So I think in his, yeah, he maybe didn't like what the dude was filming or whatever reason it was pretty insane though. Cause it's just like mid sesh and I was filming and he just said, hey, like, you know, I'd like to film you. And I was just like, fucking, yeah. You know,
this was the filmer. Yeah. This was who was filming Jamie or Jamie said
Jamie
that to you?
To
Jamie Thomas wanted to film
you. Yeah, Jamie Thomas. Yeah, he just said, he's like, hey, man, I like your skating. Like, let me film you. Let me see
what was
on.
Your style back then? When you were 14 years old, dude, were you heshed?
I was straight. No, dude. My thing, I swear. It's
were you
like,
fresh or were you, oh, dude, what was going on?
I would, before I met Jamie Thomas, yeah. I swear to God, like, and it's, I wanted to ride for Menace or something.
That
random,
was your shit.
Which is a weird thing.
No, that's dope.
It was a very short stint of time where I really thought like, oh, maybe I could ride for something. It was very short
okay.
time before
sick.
I like trying to figure
dude.
It out. But it was Menace. I wanted to ride for Menace.
It's a great team.
You know what I mean,
great
it's,
squad.
It's like most things. So as random as that is, but
no.
Yeah,
it's
so
dude, it's dope.
Oh yeah, no, I fucked.
So you kind of had the little.
Yeah,
fresh,
no,
maybe
I mean. Like,
kind of
if
like
you,
baggy
if you,
shit yeah. going
I feel
like, on.
I feel like yeah. you rock baggy pants and like a smaller shirt, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, even if you look, even if you look at like say, you know, like Thrill of It All video, there's not one rail trick in there except for the last trick,
you
know,
go.
And that's
yeah.
not even a rail trick. It's just flat out, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, for me, maybe we'll get into that later, but I fucking hated. The Thrill of It All part. So it was for me
but
it was after that. Yeah, yeah. For me, it was after that is when I really decided like, hey, like I love skating the stuff I was skating in Thrill of It All. But yeah. as far as what I put out, I wanted it to be a little more comparable to, for me, I wanted to ride for Toy Machine, you know? So Welcome Hell was the newest, hottest shit. So anything that wasn't comparable to that to me was kind of like, you know, like what the fuck? So it wasn't until after Thrill of It All is when I kind of switched. And it wasn't so much I switched how I look and whatever. And, you know, I mean, I always wore Dickies and blah, yeah. you know, whatever, all that shit. But it was like, hey, like, I appreciate the skateboard and these dudes I'm rolling with. And I'm going to jump on some of their shit.
Now, was it after you saw the video? Like, after you saw your part and everything, you were like, you know what?
Yes.
I don't like this. This isn't really.
Yeah. No, I hated Thrill of It All.
But what? But
yeah,
that was like
yours. No, and here's the thing. I get it. No, I can appreciate it now. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
okay.
Back then we didn't have social media. We had Slap Mag to tell you fucking suck.
Sure.
You know, that's
yeah.
it. Like now you got DMs and you got people.
No,
telling
we still
you,
got Slap Mag telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
suck.
No, just, yeah, for sure. But now you have to, you know, you have people. I get it now. You know, people appreciate what we did because it's a different approach or different look, whatever it is.
Right.
But at that time, like I said, I was so gung-ho on like, hey, I want to ride for Toy Machine.
Sure.
And I want, you know, like, if I'm going to try and do this whole sponsor thing, is I want to ride for the best shit.
Right.
And that was the video that kind of followed that. So
yep.
in my eyes, it was just, I don't know, it's one of those ones where, you know, we put it out. I think it was more to kind of get Zero out there.
Going, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and yeah, it was a tough one for me because, yeah, like I remember even the
did
the,
you feel
the
like
first
you,
premiere.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the
even the first premiere, like I remember we flew out, it was like New York, like upstate New York. Jamie stayed back because he had to finish up some last minute tweaks, editing.
Okay.
You know, he wasn't happy with that part. So
okay.
we flew out, it was me, Ellington, Kobelman, whoever else was on that mix. And, yeah, I remember getting to that first shop that we were premiering it, and like that was the first time where I was like, fuck, like, okay, so I knew what I was going to do. I like the video came on, and as the credits came on, I knew where my section was, and I just backed myself out of the
just
shop. And it's one of those things where I'd like, and I look at it now, and I'm not fishing for compliments. So
sure.
I get it. People kind of, you know, they appreciate it now, but to me, that was, yeah, that was, that's why I switched skateboarding in a different direction and whatever, but.
But here you are, Thrill of It All. It's a Zero video. Was it something like maybe like you felt like you didn't fit in with all these other guys, or was it more of like your own, just your own?
Yeah, it's a personal thing. Yeah, for me, I've never
because here's
been,
Jamie Thomas, you know, doing his shit.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know?
No, I appreciate
and here's you,
everybody.
Like,
I appreciate everybody's part. It's more of a personal thing.
Personal
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, definitely personal.
Oh, okay.
Did you choose the song?
Yes. Yeah.
Great
See,
choice.
That's
yeah.
the thing.
Where it was a great part.
Jamie was very good about, like, you know, he, you know, when it came to editing parts and all that shit, mm-hmm. you were a big part of that, like, throughout the way and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's a big part of, Jamie's thing is, like, yeah, he puts together great videos.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and whether you pulled your weight or whatever else, you're still in the Zero video and all that stuff.
Totally.
And so, with Thrill of It All, yeah, I looked at that, to me, that was, like, fuck, you can't do that again. Like, let's.
But at least
you
know. It like lit a fire under your ass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, for
it was
sure.
just like,
yeah,
dude,
yeah,
I got to
sure.
fucking
sure.
step it up for the next one.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Going back really quick, though, we didn't really touch on how the whole toy machine thing came around. I assume you were hanging out with Jamie and getting boards from Toy
that,
Machine.
That came about when I met up with him. That same day that he asked me to film with him. You know, I had just gotten on Entity. I was on there for a few months, maybe like 4 or 5 months or so, something like that. And after he filmed a couple things that day, and then he just said, okay, we're in the process of looking for new AMs for Toy Machine right now. We have, I think he wanted to say he had BAM in the mix already. I'm not sure if that came later or whatever, but I thought there was somebody else in there. But once he planted that seed that day, it was just kind of like, okay, I went home and I had told him that day. I'm like, no, man, I'm stoked. You know, I'm just psyched. I'm getting boards or whatever and whatever, you know. So then, that he said that and it turned into a whole different thing. It was just like, man, like I could write for the fucking best motherfuckers out. And at that time, dude, it was a heavy squad. I remember, you know, running into those guys in San Diego where they'd all hop out of Jamie's car and it was like looking at like Navy SEALs jumping out of the fucking Green Berets and shit. I swear, you're just like, whoa, like, you know, and being in San Diego, you see all these dudes, you see the alien dudes, you see the, you know, you have different squads and where I remember seeing that crew out and about, where is it fucking strictly biz? You know what I mean? It was just one of the things where I was just like, man, that's pretty amazing. You know, they roll in and they fucking,
they handle their business.
Yeah. And not saying they were fucking robots and they're doing it, but it was just, dude, they had, that team was just insane. It was Barley, stacked, everybody, Maldonado, all these heavy hitters that like covered every ground of skateboarding were, to me, I was just like, fuck.
So did you know that they were filming Welcome to Hell?
Yeah. It was probably after the fact. I didn't know too much about it. I did my homework a little bit more so after I met Jamie and then, big fan of heavy metal video, you know, and that was where I was like, you know, I kind of looked up like, man, like, how do I fit in with these dudes? You know, this is before I was even skating rails or like doing whatever. I was like, but I was like, well, I'll give it a go. But I looked at dudes of like Sattva and you know, certain characters. I was like, man, maybe they had, you know, maybe this could, you know, could work out or whatever. So I hung on to that for a while. And then
I love that Kalish went to road for Toy Machine.
Me too, dude. That's what I'm saying. So I fell in love with Toy Machine while he was still on. I remember this day. Going to ASR trade show as a kid, not even like literally having asked someone for a pass to get in and all that shit, and overhearing Josh Kalis quitting Toy Machine to Ed at that trade show.
Whoa.
Which tweaked my head. I was this little kid, kind of like, I know Jamie, I'm not supposed to know this, and yeah, so I knew there were some big changes coming at Toy Machine. And
so you thought maybe this is your chance. Maybe I can get in there.
People are kind of leaving and going in. So I was like.
So what happened? You didn't get in
there? And then eventually, I take the bus every fucking weekend to Jamie's, skate, film, whatever. But eventually, once Toy Machine came out, and even before that, you know, Jamie had started mentioning like, hey, like, you know, this, I love Toy Machine, but I'm going to do my own thing. You know, like
he was already,
already ready to do something.
So maybe he didn't even want to have you get on Toy Machine and have to quit.
I got like, you know, even through personals and stuff like your Muscas and all them, they got me the vote. You know what I mean? There's a few heads, like even, Ed has told me like, hey, if, you know, very early on, like, hey, if something doesn't happen with this, you know, the zero thing, we got you, you know?
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
So it was always like this communication kind of under the you know, under the radar.
So it was kind of already an understanding. Like, hey, Jamie's going to go off and do this thing.
It was all in the same roof though, still.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Tom Yeddo. So
true. But it's still different. I mean, was a video coming out already or had it already dropped?
Oh, it already dropped.
It already dropped.
So it was already kind of established like, hey, like BAM was a contender. But at that point, like when I finally figured it, like we had to kind of figure out like, okay, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, well, BAM's been on the float program for a while. We're gonna fuck with him first and then you're up. So it became one of those things where it's just like, okay, but I already knew Jamie was leaving and I knew he was the biggest factor of that camp. He was Toy Machine as far as putting those dudes together and making the video happen. 100%. I mean, the dude had like all those dudes living at his house, filmed every fucking one of them, and it was insane. So I think when he figured, like, and he started pitching the zero thing to me where I was like, dude, I loved it. You know what I mean? To me, it was like, oh, fuck, I think this is cool. And I told my buddies about it at school and we were stoked, but still, I was so dead set. I felt like it'd be a failure if I didn't make it on Toy Machine, you know, to the point where was very difficult to kind of like shift my head around.
Yeah, but here's this thing, you get on Toy Machine and then all of a sudden you got to quit and go to the,
switch over, and it's a whole thing.
No.
And I look back at it now, I wasn't ready for Toy Machine. So that's the thing. That's the main thing. I'm stoked that it all worked out the same way it did. It's because everything happens for a reason.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. But you had a couple tricks in Welcome to Hell, right?
Yeah, just a friend section.
I think you guys both in the same part.
We're in the same video, bro.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm in the...
No shit. Yeah, I got you.
That's my... That was the first video I was ever in.
No shit.
Yeah.
Got it.
Look at that, huh?
Yeah, no shit.
Who would have thought we had something in clear that, huh?
Shit.
So Entity video comes out, then Entity video comes out, then... Get a couple clips in Toy Machine, Welcome to Hell. Then you're filming for Zero of It All.
Yeah, Thrill of It All.
Now, when you're on, how does it go down with Jamie? Like, he's like, okay, I left. I'm starting Zero.
Yep.
Calls you up. Let's do this.
Wasn't Zero going to be a clothing brand at first?
Yeah, that's how it first started. I think that was more so Jamie could promote it while still being part of a Toy Machine.
Yeah.
Because it was Zero, a division of Toy Machine.
Yeah.
Like that's what the neck labels actually said.
Hooded sweatshirts,
yeah.
It actually said a division of Toy Machine.
It said Zero Skateboards, a division by Jamie Thomas through Toy Machine.
Were you like the first dude on the team?
Yeah, I was definitely the first dude on the squad, but I think because of my hesitation, it was kind of like, it was a little bit of a teeter totter on how it went down.
I don't
want to quote it, but yeah, no, I want to say I got on Zero and even quit at some point. Like before on, it was one of those things where I was so fucking bummed that it was like, one, I was bummed that I'll be real right now. I was bummed that Jamie was leaving Toy Machine.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck, like, what are you doing? Like Toy Machine,
it's the best.
It's the best shit right now. Yeah. So, you know, when it came about, I was a little bummed on that, but then at the same time, the name I still loved, you know, Zero. I was like, that's pretty cool.
It's a good
name, black and white, and you know, had this heavy, like, you know, kind of a heavy metal feel to it, mm-hmm. which I was all, you know, really into Metallica. Yeah, so it took growing on me a little bit.
Okay,
you know, where I think, you know, Ellington and Copelman and a couple other dudes were on there, and I think they were dead set. You know, it was like, all right, this is fucking, we're go time. And then, you know, it took me a little while. It wasn't long though. Yeah, it was once I decided, all right, dude, we're gonna do this.
Right.
And that was it. You know.
How long did you film for Thrill of It All for?
I don't know lengthwise, but it was definitely one of those things where it came up like, hey guys, we need to put something out and just, you know, introduce ourselves. So I don't know, 6 to 8 months, I would think. I don't know.
That's pretty damn fast.
It wasn't too long.
But if you're on Jamie's program.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, dude, especially back then. Yeah.
James, that was like all San Diego, basically, right?
Yeah, it was very low budge, fucking local vid, but yeah.
Thrill of It All comes out.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be a change in your life that this video drops. I mean, it was a big video.
Yeah.
I mean, it set the tone.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. No, no, I remember that instantly. Like, yeah, it was one of those things too where I'm a very private, not private dude, but like I like skating alone. I don't want that, you know, I don't need that attention. I don't want it. But yeah, I remember actually going to one of my local spots for the first time in PQ. It's called Rolling Hills. And I actually did like, you know, Smolik, all those dudes used to skate their bunch.
Okay.
And it was shortly after that where I first realized like, okay, shit's a little changed now.
It's changed.
You know, there's like kids watching to see what you're going to do. And you know, that eyeballs, you start feeling that kind of shit. So, and that to me was, honestly, it was a negative thing. Like it took a lot for me to adjust where like, I remember many times like going to that same spot and actually sitting in front in my car for like hour and a half waiting for every last like, and it was not trying to pretend like I was some Tom Penny
it's your own, in my head.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was
just
like, okay, whatever. Where I noticed it was different. You know, you go there and they're like talking about this and that, whatever.
And you just feel the eyeballs on
you.
Yeah. Oh, you feel them on you.
Pins and needles for me.
And now you're questioning your crooked grind.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, bro, I went through the whole, I'm the same way. I don't like the attention.
No.
I just wish I could go there and just be a regular old Joe.
Yep.
Nobody knows. Dude, goddamn crooked grind.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Doesn't want the attention, but he has his own talk show now.
Yeah, no shit.
Listen,
can't go to Whole Foods without getting like paparazzi on him.
So, but this, when did it change? Did you still feel that way? Or did you have to get used to it?
No matter what, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it doesn't matter if, you know, I'm in the heyday or whatever.
Sure.
It's fucking two eyeballs and I feel them. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, dude, nobody gives a shit, but
sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's something.
It affects you, though.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard to what about demos and stuff, though?
I wouldn't say I was a demo guy, but I had my moments. You know, there's days where you feel confident and you just go out there and you have your head cleared.
Yeah.
But I will probably be the first to say, and I let my own head get the worst of me by far. Like, sure. You know, whether it came to video parts and skating and everything else, I was the worst critic, you know?
Yeah.
So I think those situations became a little more difficult as I questioned myself.
Right.
You know? So it was difficult.
I think a lot of skaters go through that.
Yeah.
Though. I went through it.
Not everybody's that dude. You know what I mean?
Well, you're put on a platform. You're put on a pedestal now,
yep.
You know, and it's a very hard, some people love it. Some people adjust to it quickly. They want it.
No, for sure.
And other people, they want to fly under the radar. You know, I'm a fly under the radar guy.
Well, that time too, level of skateboarding was getting kind of gnarlier and gnarlier, and you had to step up.
Yeah,
and,
no, for sure.
Jamie keeps pushing the line.
Yeah, you're on Jamie's program.
I think that's why Jamie and I, like, our relationship has been so solid. It's like, you know, Jamie, we're opposites. You know, like, obviously Jamie, he's an attention dude.
He'll admit it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's one of those dudes where he's a park shark back in the day. And, you know, he was that figure that wanted to be that leader role where for me, I just wanted to film video parts. I didn't care about the fucking premiere. I didn't care about the this and that and whatever. So I was able to do my thing and just not really, you know, compete with people in that sense, you know, where there's not just Jamie, but other cats that want to have this certain role in the team. You know, go ahead. I was more of a fan of like your Ricky Ayolas and your you know, Fred Gulls and your fucking, you know, those dudes that are just, you know, where I didn't care about that part, you know.
It was
never a competition of like who, you know, if Ellington or Greco or somebody's gonna fuck, you know, I was just stoked for those dudes, you know.
Sure.
If you want that, you know what I mean, like, hey, you know, all good. So
for me, it was, I
had a pretty solid position on Zero, where it's like, hey, you film your video parts. Of course, you got to do your fucking magazine coverage, mm-hmm. and you travel, you know. And I think with Zero and Circle, I was always traveling. So, yeah, I was able to kind of slide, not slide in the rear. I did my thing. I think I made a name for myself, but it was never like, I was never trying to be some big fucking, you know.
I love that, though, because you were big, but you were not that though.
Yeah, it was never like your Reynolds, and you know what I'm saying? There's different tiers and stuff, and I was happy to be right, you know, in that ground.
You know?
You just mentioned Ricky and Fred Gall.
Eastern Exposure. I mean, that.
I was going to ask you about Sub-Zero video. Did you ever see that?
I did, but Eastern Exposure was the one for me that was just that's why I rode big boards, big wheels, skated a certain way. It was just, that was, to me, it was just
the big influence.
So after Thrill of It All, they're going to immediately probably start on the next video, right? Is that how it went down?
Yeah. Yep.
I could only imagine.
Yeah, no, for sure. Zero videos always took way longer. Like certain people, you know, you need longer times.
Of course.
But yeah, Zero videos are always like, hey, if you're after that one, and for a while, like too, I don't even think Jamie really liked people filming for like your trans wheel parts and all that stuff. And maybe that even came after the fact, but I like Zero was always supposed to be working on a video.
Right.
It's kind of like, hey, after this one, you know, just feeling good, keep it going.
Was he always filming everyone, or did you guys have a filmer?
Yeah, no, dude. Early on, dude, it was Jamie. Like, that's
Jamie,
the thing,
they brought in Lee, right?
What's that?
They brought in Lee.
Yeah, Lee. Yeah. Lee was a little bit after the fact, but I mean, as far as Misled Youth, Thrill of It All, Misled Youth, I don't think Lee filmed any of that. Yeah. Those two videos, where that was Jamie.
Wow,
yeah, you gotta love that.
Here's
this fucking pro skater on top of his game, and he's filming everybody on the goddamn team.
For sure. Yeah. No, it's nuts. And I mean, dude, honestly, I filmed probably 70%, I'd say, I mean, I could be wrong or whatever, but of Misled Youth for Jamie, you know, and it's one of those things where, dude, he taught me how to film, and fucking, dude, he'd be willing to do it 10 different times for me to get it right.
Really?
On top of all that, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was filming us, but at the same time, he'd be handing me a camera, and I got pretty decent at it, you know, after like doing fucking stress to like film dudes like that and whatever, I was able to get it, but.
He wouldn't get pissed if you fucked it up.
You felt his fucking madness in his head when he saw that I didn't get it the way. But
really,
he's pretty good about being like
he's picky. He's picky too. Dude, he wants it to look the way that he sees it in his mind.
Beyond picky.
How excited was Jamie when the Deathlines came out?
Oh my god! Yeah, dude, right? Oh my god! You guys know that one. So he, yeah, dude. As he was filming everybody, but at the same time, he had to do it. Fucking,
it's amazing.
My dumbass filming him.
Why not hire a filmer? Yeah. Why not pass it around? Is it just a team vibe thing?
I don't know. He's just a fucking hardworking dude. He's the excuse eliminator kind of dude. Where like I think
no excuses are allowed.
We're getting it done. You know, which is rad. I mean, that's one of those things where I think. You know, if somebody says it, you know, the crack or whatever, dude, he's going to be there fixing that crack, you know, whatever. There's no filmer, I'll film it.
It's pretty rad, though, too, because usually it's just a filmer, right? And we kind of take filmers for granted sometimes, for sure. Being skaters, like, oh, they're sitting in that ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel bad. But at the end of the day, if it's Jamie Thomas sitting in that ditch, you're like, I got to get this. I don't want the chief fucking, you know, it kind of adds a little bit of fire when your boys are filming you.
No, absolutely.
You know,
no,
kind of dope. Sure.
So there was no filmer. He was filming you and then you were filming him?
Misled youth. Yeah. If anything, I swear, like it was those times where I think Lee was only called in on like the heavy hitting shit. Okay. And even Sturt. Okay. I swear it was like Sturt. Like I think maybe towards the end of the video is when. I don't even think Lee was that in the mix. It was more Sturt. Honestly, it was like Jamie really called on Sturt to I'm going to do this and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
To where a lot of it was myself filming them.
Do you have any good Sturt stories?
Sturt one, they're all fucking good. I mean, they're all so good.
He's like the most mysterious man in skateboarding.
God, I'm sure you heard him. I don't think I know anything that's like not been said. Yeah, all of them are true.
I got to meet this guy. I never met him.
No, got it. Yeah, no, I mean, like,
he could be hiding outside watching.
Yeah, seriously. He's like full, like, yeah, like gorilla fucking maniac, like, rips the seats out of his chair so nobody rides with them. And
I don't know, he's like, super incredible. Yeah, all
of, let's leave those stories.
It's a good idea.
It. Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's fucking.
He had more room for camera gear.
That's true. That's true.
He still lurks over at Poots Park. And
it's
Adidas, every now and again, you see him like skating the fucking bowl and shit.
Dude, like, he did the loop and shot himself.
Yeah, no, dude, oh,
that's
wild.
Amazing. That's amazing.
He's wild.
So it's interesting to me because you said that, like, you know, Jamie would do the tricks multiple times if you, like, messed up. Because he probably wants it a certain way in his head, right? He wants to see it the way that he sees it in his head. And if you didn't capture that right, he would do it again. And you said, which was interesting, you could feel his madness when didn't get it right.
Yeah. And I think that's why I learned how to film so fast. I mean, it was one of those things where I'm learning with him and I got to be on point. And he's so particular. I mean, and I'm not saying it in a negative way. I mean, dude, it's...
Hey, he wants it done the way he wants it done.
Go ahead, you know, so... But I mean, it'd be as far as side to side. It's just like, you know, like every bit, you know, whatever. And he just, like one more. It's like, like shit, you know.
But it's been, how did you feel though?
Dude, there's certain times where I felt like I was trying the trick because I'm filming it. And if you fucking don't get it or you don't get his slam a certain way.
Yeah.
But
I think like as skateboarders, we all go through that stuff where even the best filmer, even Ty Evans or Roger Bagley could get the trick and you could look at it as a skater and be like, it's not really the way I saw it in my head filmed.
Yeah. Totally.
You know? Yep. So I totally get that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'd make Raj refilm a couple of my tricks too.
Yeah, you would. You know what I mean? Oh, no. I
never did that. You did it once, that's fine.
I ain't doing that again.
Well, let's go. I want to talk about Circa though, real quick. Okay. Were you on Circa during this whole like Misled Youth and...
No. I actually...
Thrill of it all.
I rode for Emerica for a bit. Oh, you know, it was way more flow. You know, it was never really like a solid program with them.
No, see, you'd rep like all of Soul Tech.
Yeah, dude. And that was I was more on the American thing. It was through Jamie.
Yeah.
But I made good friends with Steve Black, who's like the TM at the time.
Yeah.
And he'd send me S or whatever, you know, Emerica Etnies. So I rode for the Soul Tech camp for quite a while. Nothing ever became really official until. Towards the tail end of it, but then right at that point where I talked to Don, I got a little, you know, something and kind of made it a little more official, but then that's when audio had kicked in or started. That one started out and it was one of those things where I think, of course, Jamie thing too, where he's just like, hey, like, this is where, I mean, Jamie and I were just hot, like fucking, it was just a duo kind of thing, good or bad or whatever the fuck it was, but it was, everything was just like, him and I just felt good together, you know what I mean?
The
way we worked or whatever. So, so he invited me over to audio and it was a fucking amazing deal, especially, you know, not saying it was a money thing by any means, but it was a big jump from where I was at Soltech.
I bet.
That's one thing, yeah, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
For sure. K2 money.
Yeah, there you go. So it was, you know, that part was pretty rad. I mean, that was probably one of the first breaks. You know, when you ride for Zero, you don't count on ever making that. You know, that's not your money-making thing. Sure. It's like, you know, kind of your last name. You're just like, stoked to ride. So when you got that came about, I was super stoked. That kind of just changed the way I was able to live and not have to, like, you know, worry about certain things.
Were you getting a pro shoe off the bat? Or the...
No, not at all.
Wait, when did you go pro?
I was pro 97, so it was like after Thrill of It All.
Actually,
I don't remember when Thrill or Misled Youth come, but I think it was before that. Either way, it was 97, 96 is when I went pro.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if that was before or after the audio thing.
I want to say Misled Youth came out in like 98?
It was after Misled Youth that I went pro.
Right.
Which was, that was a whole weird thing in itself.
Why?
It was early on. I mean, I think anybody could kind of agree if you did the math a little bit. But I think, again, with the Zero thing, it came in so heavy. It was, I think, with Jamie being part of Welcome to Hell, Zero came in, it just fucking blew up so much quicker than I think anyone really thought it would.
Okay.
And I remember, like, just going down to Tumieto one day, and Jamie, you know, he was doing a lot of traveling. The first time I'd seen a little bit. I remember he just coming from, like, South Africa on some America trip or some shit. And then he had said... I remember he's like, oh, what up? How you been? Like, he's like, dude, crazy. Like, I've been, the sales are hitting me up. Like, I think a big part of it was like sales was asking for my board, and which that happened once upon a time, you know, like people actually ask for your board. And shit.
So like, you just turn anyone pro anymore.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, that was one where he's like, man, people are hitting those up. And I traveled through, I think he was in Africa, and he's just like, dude, people are like coining you out and they're feeling you or whatever. Like, okay. what do you think about going pro? And I remember, like, not even thinking about it. I was just like, I'm like, yeah, I don't think about that. Like, you know, whatever. And, like, let's go back into Tumieto. You know, like, we were in the parking lot or whatever. He's like, no, man, like, I think there's something going on. Oh, anyways, yeah. So that was kind of
you didn't even want to continue the conversation. You were like, no.
Well, it just didn't register. I mean, dude, it was 16 or 17 years old. I didn't fucking, dude, a lot of time to grow. I knew what other pros had done and whatever. Sure. So it seemed real early. He's like, no, dude, man, like, I'm feeling this. I think you got this. Like, you know, hey, just come correct on your next part. You'll be fine. Like, whatever. So.
Damn.
I went for it. Yeah.
And then, he showed you as your first board or how did
I came up with the first graphic. There was two series, I think, that were already in line. Like, you know, everybody else got it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the first one I had actually, once he gave me that word, my grandma was a Jehovah's Witness. I had this zine, like this magazine that they pass out or whatever, that I always just stoked on some of the graphics. And then, when he told me that like, I picked this graphic, and my grandma was fucking bummed, but it was, it's basically Jehovah's Witness. I turned the angels and all that stuff coming down from the the hill into like more like the demon side of things.
Okay.
So that became actually.
Oh, we get it.
That horse graphic.
Oh, yeah, whatever. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, that was actually out of Jehovah's Witness.
Gotcha. What happened with audio, though? When did Circa come into play?
Okay, so audio, I rode for about 6 months, and...
That's it?
Yeah.
Wait, dude, so you were on the team?
Like, full on the team. Like, actually, you know, like, contract, riding. It was on. Like, it was on, but it... But,
it was like Barra and like
Tony Hawk, Barra,
a lot of neon.
The shoes were difficult for me. I was very particular. Like, coming from Soltech, it was like, man, I was able to ride Sals and Excels and all this shit, you know, and proper Americas and stuff too, where it was slow getting into that. And then I was a little weirded out about the whole K2 thing too. I mean, I was a little prick fucking dude back then. Like, fucking anything in our industry whatever, that kind of thing. And so that was a little difficult, but at the same time, I believed in it and it was just, you know, it had rad potential. But then,
hey, Chris Miller.
Yeah. So then maybe 6 months later, I had gotten a call from Shane Wallace, who founder of Active Ride Shop. And he said that Raul Reese, the owner of Forum Snowboards and all, like Special Blend and all that stuff, is partnering up with Muska, and you know, they want you to ride for this new thing. And I was like, oh shit, I love Muska. You know what I mean? Like,
get your own stash part. Parking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was fucking smoking weed the whole night. So I was good to go.
Right.
But no, yeah, so that got in my ear. And then I had met up with those guys. I went up to San Clemente and I met up with Rawl, team manager at the time, Ryan Reese, who was actually Rawl's brother, Baby Ice.
Oh, I didn't know that was his brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool. Yeah.
Baby and then, Ice. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into that later. But yeah, so then, yeah, and then Muska too. So it was one of those things where we had this kind of crazy meeting because I was already under contract through audio.
Gotcha.
And in order to meet with these guys, it had to be kind of stealth and stuff.
Yep.
And I think at that time, I swear, it was one of those things that intrigued me. You know, it was just like, oh, fuck, these guys, like, we got to be secret. They picked me up in, like, the forum, like, blacked out SUV van and went to, like, nice dinner and stuff. And, I rode for Zero. I mean, I'm talking, like, 10 years of sleeping on the fucking floor. Like, you right. know, like... You know, whatever, like every tour is grimy as shit, you know. So, like,
here you are, Roos Chris.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
this is great.
In a good way, money. That's what I'm saying, dude. I would never change any of the 0 days of touring and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, of
rugged
course.
And raw, but it's just like, it was so rad for what it was. But yeah, then to meet up with these Zero dude or Circa guys, you know, mm-hmm. especially Muska and Rawl and stuff, it's like, you just felt like they were going for like the top, and then it wasn't something.
Did they already have a name picked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, so they broke everything down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when I met up with those dudes, it was just fuck, dude. The pitch was just insane. It wasn't like a money. It was just those dudes wanted to take over the fucking shit.
Sure.
It wasn't like, hey, we're gonna do this, and it's like, no, this is the plan. Hey, you know, we know it seems like it's unquestionable whether we can get Jamie and this and that and blah blah blah. But like, no, you're like, who do you want on the team? Like, you know, whatever. It was just an insane pitch that I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to where, it was tough because I had just signed that contract with Circa or with Audio. But I remember going home after that and just like, dude, I'm fucking down. Like, I don't care what I have to do. I just have to go to, you know, get the balls and tell Jeff Taylor.
Who's the guy?
I have to go tell Jeff.
This episode is supported by Shake Junk. Yep, the company that keeps you going in these streets. Need that perfect grip for your flick? Bearings that just don't stop? Bolts to keep your trucks on tight? Look no further. ShakeJunk.com has what you need. Grip, bearings, bolts, skateboards, rails, riser pads, grip tape cleaner, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and everything else in between. Treat yourself and save a couple bucks by entering 9 Club at checkout. Yep, 20% off everything. Just enter 9 Club, NINECLUB, at ShakeJunk.com. Get there while you can.
Oh, wait, who was the team on Circa that they were pitching?
Oh, at that time, it was just me and Muska.
That's it?
I mean, it was just Muska, you know, so we were just getting...
You were like the second dude.
I was the second dude, yeah, no bullshit. Wow. Yeah, second dude, so it was like, yeah, this is what we want to do. Shit. You know, of course, they wanted Jamie Thomas to be
on
that program,
okay.
You know, so it was like...
They knew if you went there, Jamie would follow?
I don't know, I want to think, dude, honestly, I had that in my fucking head. But
wasn't audio like...
It came to that thing to where we finally made the decision, and like, they didn't think that... Jamie put it on, like, we'll get to that part, but that's actually leads into that, because after I had finally went back after that pitch, I had went to Jeff Taylor, finally went there... And unfortunately, I left him a note on his desk because he wasn't there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, let's back up.
Okay. I'm an early riser. Here's the thing. I'm an early riser.
Dear Jeff, I quit.
So once I finally got the balls, I was like, all right, dude, I'm just going to go there. And before anybody's in there, just Jeff.
Okay.
So I went down there.
Nobody was there.
Kind of hoping that Jeff would be there. Trust me, it was a fucking tough one. So then I went in.
Yeah. Well, I love this.
Yeah, so I ended up writing a note on his desk like, hey, Jeff, we need to talk. I'm just not feeling this thing. And wanted to break the ice, you know, just, I don't know. I didn't know how to deal with shit back then. Dude. Yeah. I was a fucking
How old were you?
I was still old enough to. I should have known better.
What are we talking? 17, 18?
Yeah, like 17, 18.
Still. 17, 18, it's a little kid. You're dealing with big business shit here.
So, you know, I'm leaving a company with... Still Jamie Thomas. That was a big one part of it too, because Jamie me on this fucking team. And he's the one that pitched it like it's on like dude.
Did Jamie know you had the Circa meeting?
No, not at all.
Nobody knew.
It goes to this. No. And this is it kind of leads to that too, where I finally told Jeff. Jeff was amazing about it too. I mean, that's just who he is. Yeah, Jeff Taylor. Love him to death. Love you, Jeff.
How many years were on your contract?
Oh, it's like 3.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
3 years, yeah, and you just years. And you, this is 6 months into
six
it.
6 months into it.
Gotcha.
Yep. Okay. So I went in there, and dude, there was no question. It's just like, dude, if you're not happy here, like, okay, like, if there's anything we can do,
right?
you know, to whatever. But if your heart's not in this, let's yeah. figure it out. And I had gotten on the phone. I made it very clear. I was just like, dude, I'm just, you know, it's just not me. You know, I'm just whatever.
It's
you know?
Cheaper
and
to let
a lot
you
of
go.
It, like you mentioned, like I mean, the neon and the stuff that going the ads and stuff being very tech and yeah. rave mm-hmm. influence right, or whatever the fuck right, you want to call it right. at the time was just throwing me off. You know, so when Muska came about and Roll is just. It was exactly
well, you know Muska's vibe. You know how yeah. how he's going to yeah. want a company no, for to sure. look and everything.
And I knew his vibe was going to be this thing. But I remember when we met, it was just like, hey, we're covering all grounds here. We're not going to be this, and that.
Right.
We're going for the top. Or da 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 da.
Did you tell audio that you were going to go? Dude,
it's insane. I mean, here's the thing. Here's a shitty thing though. Okay, that same meeting was the same night of the Reason premiere.
Oh, sick.
Where I had met with Roll and Muska. I'm unveiling so much shit right now that, yeah, whatever. The meeting shouldn't have happened. But I had that meeting with the Circuit Camp yeah. that same night.
It was
night.
The late 90s.
And we were up there. And I remember we were up in San Clemente. And we all like, okay, hey, we're going to that premiere, Transworld premiere. Because I had some shit in it. And whatever. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
the back lip was in it, right?
Yeah, the back lip was actually in it. Yeah. So then we all went down there. Like, Roll was already planning on going down there. And that same night, Roll, Chris Miller. Oh, fuck, I'm just. Yeah, anyways, Chris Miller and Roll had literally had like a little beef in front of the theater, the okay. premiere of the that Reason, because he had heard that Roll was talking to some of his dudes.
And you know, his audio guys.
Roll's my boy. You know, people could hate on him or whatever, but he was a good dude. You know, he's a good dude. And,
sure,
and,
yeah, he is.
But
dude.
He was a little cocky, and so I think when he his first coming into it, and I think you know he rubbed people off the wrong way.
Okay,
but I remember going to that premiere and just kind of like seeing them kind of like in front of the premiere, and I was like I hadn't mentioned anything to anything.
Right, you didn't.
So I don't
know.
Think they knew anything was going on with me personally, but he had heard that he's gone in for people.
Sure, where know, this is a small.
Camps. This is not. I mean, this happened in D.C. There's people in that camp that. Right. New Roll was trying, hey, we're going to fucking do this and we're going to get who we want.
This is a small industry.
Yeah.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
One person talks to somebody, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yep.
Can't hide anything.
So we went to that premiere and it was a blowout, like fucking dude, just like it was gnarly. So
great
that made it pretty difficult for, you know, a few weeks later for me to actually go in with Jeff and not do it the way I should have, but you know. So Jamie Thomas coming to the picture.
Yes.
You know, okay. So once I made the announcement to Jeff, I went to Jeff first. I didn't tell Jamie. I just like, hey, I met with Muska. Or, you know, I met with him. I made my decision. I didn't honestly ditch, didn't want Jamie to have that chance to fucking, you know.
This is the first time you went in and met with Jeff Taylor or you met with him a couple times?
No, I met with that first time. Just
first time. So you had told him about Circa and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like probably 2 weeks after I met with Circa and I made the decision.
Okay.
I don't know how I was going to handle it because I was under contract too. So it was like, fuck, I don't even know what to do. So it took me a couple of weeks before actually going there.
When nobody was there.
Okay. So then
but you finally could
let him know.
Talk to him on the phone or did you go in there?
That's what I'm saying. Dude, he called me probably like an hour or two hours later and we had a heart to heart and it was great. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He's amazing.
He's the same dude he is, you know, then now.
Jeff wants everybody to be happy.
That's number one. That's his MO.
Totally.
Which is amazing. So. But after that, that's when, you know, Jeff and everybody caught word of it. And Jamie had come to my apartment out in, Poway, Rancho Verde. I remember he came out. He's like, hey, Lopes, I want to fucking talk to you. Like, you know, I heard what's going on.
Okay.
I was like, shit.
I want in.
I was like, God damn it. No. And then he came over and it was definitely more to talk to me like, hey, man, like, you know, I don't think what you're doing is right. And not in a sense like he thought I was making a bad decision or whatever, but like, hey, there's potential here and yada, yada, yada. And I told him exactly what I felt, you know? And it was like one of those things where I'm, dude, he's probably in my apartment for like 2 hours, like just what's going on, man?
Sure.
Like, you know, this is a new thing. Like, we hadn't even really fucking cracked the surface yet. Like, and I was like, I don't know, man. Like, these dudes are for real. Like, they fucking mean biz. And it's not just, they want, like, let's do this kind of shit.
Right.
So. After that conversation, I want to say, and I'm not trying to take credit for whatever, but dude, I think Jamie was ready to go to Circa after that.
You talked him into it.
Yeah. and not saying that in any cocky way. Like,
sure.
Jamie would have made his own decision, but I think it was one of those things where it's just like, dude, like, what are we doing here? You know, it's Muska, you know, and this dude Roll, I don't know what he's about, but dude, he's like, he's he knows design, he knows marketing, and it's certain things that he's mentioned that I'm just like, dude, I'm not hearing this over here. So after that night, it became one of those things where, he left my apartment saying, you made the right decision.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was in that exact words, but it was just like, do your thing. Do your thing.
Right.
So, that went down. And then, so I was the second dude on Circa.
That's insane. Yeah.
Which was rad, though. I mean, to come from zero camp, like I said, it's like, you know, Jamie ran his camp because he wanted people to like stay hungry.
Sure.
You know, it's not so he wanted to save a fucking $20 for a hotel. It's right. Not people get whatever. Maybe it is, you know, with certain. But at that time, dude, he just wanted everybody to stay hungry. And you know, like for me to have that world and then be able to go over here and kind of like have that balance. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. It was insane, dude. Like traveling became a whole different thing. You know, it wasn't too long after that I ditched my apartment. I was like, dude, I don't need an apartment.
You don't need it.
Fucking traveling. Right. Like, yeah, I'm going to go with these guys. So
it must be hard for somebody like Jamie Thomas with such a work ethic, you know, to run a company. Like you said, he wanted everybody to stay hungry, you know?
Yep.
Imagine like a Kobe Bryant. Everybody on that team is not going to have the work ethic like Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Imagine how crazy that must make you feel sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's great.
I can only imagine.
His work ethic is second to none.
It's second, right.
Yeah, and it's frustrating at times.
I mean, I bet.
It's one of those things for writers. And, you know, I was always able to do my thing. But I think, you can't give a dude excuses when he's fucking doing himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Leading by example is
number one. That's one thing I learned in my company and what I do. It's like, you can't question anything unless, you know, if you're leading by example.
Well, bro, if you're a slacker, everybody else around you, if you own that company, they're going to be like, well, our boss is a fucking slacker. Exactly. So why do I need to do this shit?
Straight up.
Yeah. So Circa forms, right? You leave. But here's audio, though. Great fucking Tony Hawk. Yeah. You got Jamie Ray. Sure. You got
fucking Tony. They had Chris Roberts.
They had Chris. They had me. See? You know, my first pro ad, I was in a hammock. You know, they were popping.
Wow, work ethic, huh?
A lot of work ethic. Yeah. But I mean, were you nervous at all? Because here's this thing. You may not like the vibe, but
I don't know.
It's this new thing. Dude.
It was just one of those things where I'm a big person. I go off my gut. You know, I'm always one of those dudes where if it feels good, you just go for it and you fucking figure it out. And that was when I felt very good about.
Okay.
You know, and it was, dude, it wasn't even, I already made Muscle a pretty was decent.
Like peaking then too.
Oh, that's dude, yeah. Right. It was like everything and above. I mean, even like we didn't know who we'd actually get, but it's just all the potential was there. And I think for me, it was just, just dealing with Raul and Muska just felt
good.
Good, yeah.
There you go.
Like, how did you guys choose the rest of the team?
That's what was rad about Circa, dude. Like, we would meet up, like, every 2 weeks at Raul's. He had a condo out in San Clemente. We'd just meet up there every 2 weeks, and we'd powwow on it. You know?
Oh, sick.
Like, slow process, especially once, you know, like, we got, I want to say James Craig or something. I don't know. It was weird. Like, The team took a little shape without not being as much process as what I thought. But I think once like Jamie came aboard, it became this like thing of like, dude, nobody's getting on this fucking thing unless we all vote and blah, blah, blah. But after I got on, I think it was already plotted. Like it wasn't too long after we knew Jamie was coming over. He had to deal with his legal issues. I mean, dude, it was like they weren't having it.
Here's you, right? You come in 6 months into it. You leave. There's probably no shoes involved. It's an easy clean break, right? For Jamie Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
He's got shoes.
Big thing. Yeah.
Invested money into this guy. I'm sure it was a huge thing.
Oh,
right?
Huge. For sure. I mean, we're you know, it got as probably ugly as it can be, but with skateboarders. Someone as amazing as Chris Miller, you know what I mean? Dude, amazing dude. But also has to kind of protect what he's doing.
Of course.
He's got investors like K2 and all that.
Sure.
He has to make sure, you know, what he's put in place sticks about. But anyways,
And I bet Jamie, being a business owner, kind of understood all that as well.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm speaking for him, but
I think he understood all that, but he fought to get out of that contract.
Yeah, you
know?
I'm sure.
He had to kind of do whatever he had to do. And I don't know all the details, but it got pretty rough towards the end. Cause I remember he had to like start wearing shoes duct taped and shit or whatever.
Oh shit!
I thought I can't do that anyways.
Wasn't even saying that he was like wearing blank shoes, or he was like buying shoes that didn't have any labels or something. I forget. Yeah, his interview was so long ago.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Yeah, it was like it was a big deal. I remember like talking about it. Like, it was a thing that happened for a while, and you know, it was just like, oh, he's coming, but at some point, you know. So we had to kind of like build around it and kind of keep the thing going.
Of course.
But once he came aboard, it became this like proper, like, this is what we are. You know, right. It's like, hey, we got the fucking this side of the world covered. We got this. And
I mean, so your shoe, right? The what's
AL50.
It?
AL50. Yep.
The AL50.
That was a big one, dude.
Yeah, no, dude. Thank God. No. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know what's funny, though? That was actually my first shoe. My first shoe was the AL202, which actually did almost as well as that one. Which
oh,
was,
really?
Yeah. No, which was pretty nuts. Like, that's how that one kind of started about was I got my first shoe in 2002 was the 202.
Okay.
And that one did fucking really well. Like, it hit the ladies thing, and it was just like, I don't know, whatever. It did really well. And that was the follow-up shoe.
Okay.
2 years later, and that shoe was actually already in the line. Like, it had been in the line maybe two seasons before. It didn't check. But then, because my name on it, because of the AL, you know, just having that, like, okay, he has this other shoe that's really successful.
Right.
They're like, hey, this dude, Dennett, which I'll give him credit, you know, dude, he I remember him pulling me in. We were at a lookbook shoot for Circa and C1 and all that shit. And he's like, hey, dude, this shoe, you know, a couple seasons ago, it didn't fucking check, but like, I believe in this shoe.
What do you mean it didn't check?
It didn't
make the line.
Didn't make enough to like. Yeah, didn't book enough to like make the.
But that
sounds sketchy to me.
No, no.
Like
for
here's
sure,
a
dude.
Shoe that doesn't didn't even book.
No, no.
And now you want me to put my name on it?
No, it looked dope. No, but it looked dope because at the time, like it's. I remember it was in the warehouse. I was like, man, like, and it looked amazing.
Also,
at that time, it looked thin, but.
Dude, vulcanized shoes.
It had this cups. It actually had one piece in the back. And he said, hey, I believe in this shoe. And I know with your name on it, your vibe, like what you have going on, like I think you take that out, you put your shit on there, and it's going to work.
It's going to go.
At that time, the vulcanized shoes were just popping off, dude.
That was it, too. Yeah. I mean, their timing for me was always been everything. Wow. You know, like even with my first two, like I was the first or whatever, I had a real short toe cap.
Okay.
And there was nothing in the market at the time. And the girls all of a sudden, this is like the one where this is a shoe like... Avril Lavigne and all these random, like Limp Bizkit, all these fucking random dudes just, you know, whatever. So not this shoe, but the first
one. The 202.
So when this one came about, they, you know, Dennett suggested, he's like, hey, like, you know, I think if you take this out, put your shit on there, it's your vibe. Like, it's just a real, and at the time it was thin, you know, it wasn't a puffy shoe.
Right.
It almost looked like your classic Vans at the time. Like, hey, gotcha. Like, you're a simple Dickies kind of dude. So, anyways, so that's how it came about, and yeah, dude, it's fucking.
I mean, how many colorways?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, dude, it came out. Yeah, it came out in 2004, and it's.
How long was it in line for? It was in there for a long time.
It's still in there. I mean, dude, Circa still rebirthed again. If you might, I'm sure we'll get into that. Yeah. But like, no, dude, even the last round, it's. Still the it still has its little whether they're college kids
it's a classic
or whatever
the silhouette.
Let me do the math on this.
I don't know how it works. I mean to me it's
$2 a shoe. How many colorways? How many years? I mean Jesus Christ, fucking fortune off of that thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely very fortunate with the. In the shoe game.
Was that was that the only two shoes you had, or did you have more?
No,
after
I have, you know, I had a shit like you know, I've had
but those two
more.
Shoes were the
those
hitters.
Are the two that hit hard. I mean, gotcha. I think once you have a good shoe and then you're able to follow up with one,
people
kind of maintain it, and you all of a sudden become that dude that's like, oh, well, he pays attention to what he likes, at
right?
Least. Yeah. It's not just a dude that throws his name on any shoe, you know, which was the case. I definitely was like very like. Meticulous about what I wanted, and if it's going to follow up, it better be damn good and whatever. So
totally.
I took it very serious. So,
Circa's the rebirth or whatever you were saying.
So yeah, it's under new ownership.
Are you in?
Yeah, I'm still with Circa. Yeah. I mean, the shoe still pays the bills.
Okay.
So,
wow.
It was under a new ownership even maybe 4 years ago. Student Massimo took it over. Great dude.
Yeah.
He actually owned the factories. Yeah, some
like
of the factories.
Italian factory. Well,
Italian factories and really solid dude. But since he's parted ways, and it's been about 8 months now that there's under new ownership, so there's like a rebuild going on right now for 2019.
Dope.
So right now, it's
how you
myself.
Feeling? How are you feeling about it?
I feel good. I mean, dude, it's one of those things where, dude, you know, the shoe game's tough, is it? You know what I mean? And it's not getting any better. But I still think there's people out there that want that, that, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to work with you if you can work with it, because right. we need, we want that, that skate community. Or
we
that
released skate the Muscle One.
Yeah.
With the stash pocket.
Yeah.
Who are you saying was on the
yeah,
team?
Yeah, so right now it's just, and I want to do it slowly. I mean, dude, I know there's people floating it out around out there, you know, like, sure. so I don't think it'd be tough to build a little squad,
yeah.
minimal or whatever. So right now I just put James Brockman on. He's just a good buddy of mine.
And oh, dude.
Ride for Zero's heavy hitter, dude. Yep. So I hit him up, and it's one of those things where I want dudes on the squad right now to just realize where the skateboarding shoot game is, sure. and where they are. And it's, mm-hmm. I don't want the answer of like, fuck yeah. You know, like yeah. we're going to do this. And you know, my pitch isn't big. It's not like I have something major to offer them.
Right.
But it's like, hey, you know, like I know there ain't, you know, I know there are not too many brands hanging around right now to where, if you can, you know, get with this thing and you know, grow with it. And I don't want to be the dude that's like promising him anything. I'm laying it down like for real how it is. So
right. And I think a lot of people know the industry right now.
Yeah,
and
no, for sure. You know, so that's where I'm going. And I think, you know, I want, there's, you know, there's one dude I want from the old squad. I want Neen back. Neen Williams and shit. Oh, and then,
that would be dope.
Yeah, that's the one dude I want back on.
Who does Neen skate for right now?
He's just getting flows through.
Oh, Super.
No, he's not. Yeah, yeah. No. He's just getting flows through.
Free. Oh, that's it.
So I hit him up. We're talking a little bit.
Neen
stuff,
is the man.
But he's, no, dude. He's Love a hustler. Me. He's a hard worker. Oh, he's a God. Good dude. So I want to make sure I come correct or whatever. But right now I just want to keep it slow and kind of like,
you know,
wait for the right people. And I think exactly. I want the dudes to know where they stand. And it's like, dude, I'm going to give it all.
Well, with all like the old school shoes coming back right now.
Yeah,
too.
No, I mean, shit.
It's a great time also.
What was the shoe? I can never remember the numbers of all the shoes.
Yeah, I know.
But the one that
it's like New Balance style.
Apple Yard would always skate.
201.
That one was a big
dude,
one.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Dude, when I got on Circa, like I literally couldn't wear shoes. Like it was the 901 Muska's like high heel, like crazy one with the stash pocket, all that. There was another model that was still big. I remember wearing the first pair and I sacked myself at UCI grill because it was, I didn't even feel my board.
Oh my God. There
was a period like where I didn't even wear Circas because I basically waited till that 201 came out.
Oh.
That was a shoe though that like, I don't know what it was. I maybe it's just, I was so
that the one with like, the silicone something. Bumps on the side
yes.
of it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was not, again, that was one shoe where I saw it and it reminded me of audio.
Yeah.
Oh. But it skated so well. Like if you put it on and you didn't have to break it in. So that was their go-to for everybody.
Yeah,
that was a big one.
Yeah.
Well, let's before we get into your companies right now, I want to go back just a little bit to Zero,
sure.
and because didn't you say you left Zero?
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Well, I had switched over to Mystery for a bit.
That Mystery, that's right. What it was that's too. Right.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
So I did.
Was Mystery supposed to be your brand?
What's that?
Was Mystery supposed to be
your
brand?
No. That's actually a funny little story too. Yeah. It's like. This is
After Dying to Live.
Yeah, After Dying to Live.
Okay.
So After Dying to Live, I think the next one was New Blood. Yeah, New Blood. Oh, yeah, New Blood's where we did the Mystery
Chris Cole and whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
So that one, so I was writing for Mystery and then, I'm sorry, Zero. And then Mystery came about because Jamie and Mumford were actually going to do Mystery.
Okay.
And that was going to be their thing. I think for the most part, Jamie came up with the concept name and everything.
Okay.
Where, you know, but then it was like later pitched to Mumford, like, hey, you know, like I want to do a new thing. And I think you're, you know, you're a veteran. And I think you can like handle being this thing. And for whatever reason, I don't think Mumford was really into it. You know, maybe the name and whatever. And I don't know exactly what it was, but it became one of those things where Jamie hit me up after that. He's like, hey, you know, like, I know you're kind of like, you know, you're just doing your thing right now and stuff, but what do you think about taking on Mystery?
But you're still on Zero. Like, why? Now he's asking you to change teams.
Yeah, no. Super weird. But at that time, though, is like, I remember it was
a big
like,
opportunity, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. But it was one of those things where even when Jamie had just bought, like, got that big spot, you know, where we had that massive skate park.
Oh, yeah.
It was just Black crazy, Box. You know? So I was like, I already kind of had a weird disconnect with the camp. Like, things were just going crazy, you know, like just getting big and stuff. And then when Jamie hit me up, he's just like, threw it at me. The immediate answer was no. Like, I don't want to take that on. And not just from a writer standpoint, but it was also like, you got to be like a creative
the brand
director.
Manager.
Yeah, you got to like.
Oh, he wanted you to do kind of head up the company.
Yeah, it was more like that. So more on the like creative side, I would say. Like, you know, because we always had team managers in the mix.
Yeah,
he had pitched it like, hey, like, you know, Mumford's not into it. He's not feeling it. We kind of had a little thing. And, I think you'd be good for it. And I was like, I know, whatever. But I already had kind of a disconnect from the new camp, whatever it was at the time. Like,
okay.
You know, it was like that, whatever. Every now and again, I go through periods where it's like, okay, it's a new squad. And, you know, sure, they're so long, sure, there's new camps and stuff. So that time I was a little disconnect. And then I had told them, Jamie, maybe, I don't even know what it was, maybe a week later or so, that, sure, let's go. Let's do it. You know, let's give it a go.
Okay.
Because I've always been stoked on working with graphics and stuff, too. Like, Zero Graphics and all that stuff. I always came up my own. And then, you know, I even came up with other series like Stained Glass. Like certain things. I just really loved that part of it too, I was like, oh shit, maybe I can at least have some fun with making graphics and all that stuff. And I ended up saying yeah, and we did that. And
did he have a team already planned out, or was this kind of like
No, it was already kind of plotted. And I think that was why a little bit of, because I remember when it got announced to even our camp, I think we were still at Tumieto at the time.
Oh, okay.
And there was a little like animosity from some people because they weren't part of like the initial plan. You know, it's like, oh, we've been busting our ass for the Zero thing and blah, 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 it's killing it. But this whole concept has been handed to us and there's not much for us to do besides just sell it and go for it, you know? So, but yeah, so eventually I did it. And then I probably did it for about 2 years as far as like creative director and all that stuff came up, all the graphics and all that shit, team management, tours, all that stuff, kind of did that. And then after about two and a half years, I just remember calling Jamie. I was like, dude, I don't want to deal with this fucking shit. It was like,
you were over it.
Yeah, I was over it because
how old I mean, were you getting, were you still
skating? Yeah, I was still skating. It's everything like, yeah, no, for was, sure, I was still skating and stuff, but it was like I don't know. It was
burnt out, maybe.
Yeah, like a little burnt out. I mean, it's still Jamie's camp, you know what I mean? And I love Jamie, like I said, but it's when you come up with graphics, you're getting in his head, you know. And
right.
And I think for me, I love, you know, I love doing what we're doing, and I think we have like the mutual, like, you know, same taste in certain things. But yeah, I don't know. It as much as, you know, people said, oh, it's your company, and it wasn't my thing,
right?
You know? So
right.
So I think at some point I was like, dude, I'm just gonna focus on skating, and then, you know, let's keep that kind of going, whatever.
Yeah.
That was for that part though, like to creative direct the brands. Still rode for it. They, you know, they brought somebody in to kind of handle that. And it wasn't until later when I actually said, you know what, like, let's just go. You know what I mean? Let's just part our ways now. And I think, you know, it's probably the right time.
Why did you want to part your ways?
It was probably like 6 months or about a year after I started Loser Machine. So I remember we were at the Crossroads trade show down at ASR, when it was still down in San Diego. Yeah. That day, I just, for some reason, felt a big disconnect with the crew. And I literally made that decision that day.
Really?
So I just went up to him, like, Jamie, I'm like, and I was making pretty good money from him still, too. And I knew at the time it was starting to get tough times for Black Box. Like we had Jamie, you know, we had that massive place, amazing. I mean, dude, it was probably the best times, fucking zero days, you know, for sure. But we had gotten to that point where, like, you know, some people were starting to have to get, like, little pay cuts here and there, you know, to kind of make sense of everything, which I think everybody was dealing with that. So,
the whole industry.
Yeah, everybody was. Yeah. So for me, I remember thinking, like, dude, I'm still paid pretty good amount, like, you know, for my squad, if I were to dip, maybe that could kind of balance it out. And, you know, I'll still put a board out to lose machine.
Still got shoe money coming in?
Everybody's like, you know, yeah, so I have my, you know, circa thing. So I just kind of, like, you know, everything's kind of going crazy, you know, whatever. And maybe I could tap out now and that'll help out with these. Not saying I was 100% like, I just want to help these dudes out, but timing wise.
You just felt right.
Yeah,
felt
good.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus you have Loser Machine where you wanted to maybe focus more on that as well too.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, at that point I kind of felt the good buzz about Loser Machine, what we were doing there. And I just wanted to make a bunch of shit. Loser Machine was never meant to make one thing. So for me to throw a board here and there and all that stuff, like,
yeah,
do whatever you want. You
know, okay.
Thing, so.
So it wasn't like you were quitting for another company. You were just quitting to focus
that's
on.
That's why it wasn't as like a big deal where it's like, oh, I'm done with Zero and I'm going. It's just,
right.
I mean, I think it's time for us to kind of go this, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Was that around the same time that like he was bringing in New Balance Numeric?
Yeah. It was around that same time. Okay. I think, and yeah, there was a period where I had a pretty big disconnect from that, you know, when it became a big distribution thing. It was just, you know, it was,
I mean, that was a big space.
It was huge. It was insane.
The skate park.
Yeah, you'd be selling a lot of shit.
Awesome. I mean, dude, it was fucking great. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. So when did you start Loser Machine?
So Loser Machine started, I started that in 2008. You know, like actually late 2008, 2009, me and my buddy Dennett, who was actually with me at Circa for many years, same dude that,
designer.
With the with the shoes and stuff. We both had a lot of mutual, you know, passions outside of skateboarding, whether it be like old cars, motorcycles, art, whatever it may be. We just started hanging out a lot, and a lot of us ended up hanging out at each other's houses, you know, like even your John Alleys and a lot of people that were into cars. Like, we just started kind of just gravitating every, you know, maybe every couple of weeks we'd end up at each other's houses, whether it be somebody working on their car or whatever. Just all got together, and one day we're just like, fuck, let's just make a couple hats for ourselves, you know, like just hats, t-shirts. And Dennett, being the genius he is with like art and everything else, it just, it was like overnight, it's just like, Cool. I like the idea. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I don't think
so. Even focus on skateboarding. Just a brand.
No. It is skateboarding. I think that's the one thing. Really? I think I want to make sure. The point is, like, you know, my history in it is skateboarding first and foremost.
Okay.
You know, but I think it's easy to kind of like, okay, you don't write
job. Well,
you know,
but it's a heavy influence on cars and motorcycles too.
No, right? Absolutely. Yeah. No, for sure. And that's like something that I think we were always into. And you know, at the time, I remember thinking, I was like, man, like, I was never the dude that wanted to start my own brand. You know, like I kind of saw through Jamie. It's like, man, the nightmares and stuff that he had to deal with, and a lot that goes into it. I was just like, man, I don't know if that's for me. So when this came about, it's just one of those things where it's just like, man, it's everything I'm really into.
Sure.
You know, and there's nothing out there right now, especially at the time. I think that, like, you know, skateboard industry is starting that big recession where it's just like, fuck, you know, like, it's not a baller industry like we all thought. So, or you know, used to.
Sure.
And so, yeah, when it came about, I was just like, yeah, dude, let's do this. You know, like, I think there's something there. You know, I don't want to come out, though, unless we're doing something different. And that's why, you know, we did 3/4 motorcycle helmets in a metal flake, like novelty 60s, 70s helmets.
Okay.
We did gloves as well. And it's just, for me, it was just to kind of separate. Like, I just didn't want to come out and be that normal thing. So, Loser Machine just, it kind of naturally just came about. It's one of those things where we're first going to just do it for ourselves. You know, it's kind of like, oh man, there's nothing that's really representing everything we're about. So we put it together, and once it did, I felt 100% about it and went for it. You know what I mean? I went all in.
How did you come up with the name Loser Machine?
That's a great
question. You get that a lot. Loser Machine, I mean, it's one of those things too where it's like, and what we're in, I mean, dude, it's not one of those things, it's not a glorified, you know, working on cars and bikes and all this and that. And then for me, it's like, we've all, like, you know, in my day, you know, even, you know, middle school days, it's like, your skateboarders, your musicians, your greasers, we're all considered losers, you know what I mean? We're the fucking dude stuck in the hill in the, you know, the courtyard or whatever that. So for me, it's kind of embracing that, like, you know, we're just, fuck, dude, we're a bunch of dudes just doing our shit. So tough name for people, some people to swallow, but I think it just represents what
we are. It's a great
name. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where, like, I wouldn't want it to be just some fucking generic name, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where, to me, skateboarders, we're not going to be, you know, and we have our opinions on Olympics and sports and this and that, but to me, we're fucking, dude, we're skateboarders, and we fucking, you know, we're on the ground. Like, fucking get dirty. So to me, Loser Machine's that.
I love it.
You know, so, and I think the, you know, with motorcycles and all that kind of stuff, that comes pretty natural. I think as you get older, you just, fuck, you still want that kind of, like, you know, that feel of kind of, you know, having a little something push the boundaries. So yeah, for me, that kind of went hand in hand, and then we just put something together, and so far it's good. I think it's a good thing because we're able to kind of work different areas. We sell to Harley Davidson dealerships. We sell to them. You know, we hit the, you know, your Actives and your Pacific Drives and all that stuff, but still have some boutique chopper shops and all that kind of stuff. So be cool. And we put a big focus on our product and our graphics. Like, there's not much hype around it and this and that. It's just like, we want to make good shit.
Are you more of a car guy or a bike guy?
I was first more of a car guy. I'd say I'm more of a bike guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got right now? You got a knucklehead? You got a panhead?
Dude, I got a couple shovel heads. I got shovelhead, a SR. Yeah, no. Yeah. So dude, bikes, it's one of the things that grabbed me pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fuck, dude, it's just, and what sucks about it, though, it's just, you know, with skateboarding and having all these rad things you're into, it's like, riding a motorcycle is fucking a lot easier.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you get on a bike, you can go and do what, you know, whatever, and it's fun.
Are you the guy in the garage fixing up his bike?
No, I wouldn't say that. Early on, I was definitely that dude that, like, you know, because my first bikes, I got shovel heads, which are the old bikes. So you have to learn how to fucking work on your shit, or you're just never going to ride.
You break down the side of the freeway.
So, but I wouldn't say I'm that dude that's mechanically fucking, like, you know, whatever. That's like a John Alley, like, just born in their blood.
Gotcha.
But for me, no, dude, I I love riding motorcycles. You right. know what I mean? And I like tinkering here and there, and that's fun and whatever. But no, I like getting on my fucking bike, turn that thing on, it runs.
Hey, there you go.
We go. You know, so,
hey. Yo. That's great, bro. Well, you also have another company.
Dark Seas.
Dark Seas.
Yeah, which is pretty, yeah. yeah.
Why so you have two companies? What's going on here?
That's a very good question.
What's going on?
So yeah, no, Dark Seas actually started the same, again, with that dude Dennett, him and I, like, it started, concepted probably around the same time as Loser Machine, but it never really turned into anything till probably like 4 or 5 years ago, more so when I partnered up with Obey and all these guys or whatever.
Oh, really?
But, okay. Dark Seas was always that for him and I, like, you know, when we came up with Loser Machine, like, man, this industry's crazy right now. It's just, it's very, you know, everybody's just doing the same shit, and it's just, you do this, you do that, or whatever. And we had our take on Loser Machine, and it's like, hey, this is what we think, whatever. But for Dark Seas, it was, you know, definitely more for Dennett, but for me, it's a little more take, like, dude, I've always respected surfing, you know, and it's not something I've never gotten into, whatever, but it's, to me, in my opinion, there's never been any fucking brands that I've been stoked on, you know, that you're like, fuck, it represents how cool the fucking surfer is. It's not about contests and all that kind of shit. So this was early on, like, and I know there's been brands that's kind of popped up or whatever. So it's, you know, it feels like you kind of jump on it. But at the same time that we came up with Loser Machine, it was the same thing, especially my buddy Denny, you know, he surfs, fishes, works at, like, you know, Val Surf all his life before coming over to Circa. So for him, it's just like, dude, there's just no fucking brands out there that are cool. Like, you know, it's all about this and this and that. So Dark Seas came about, and to me, it felt fucking rad because it was just like, dude, the name, we came about it. And, you know, I was hanging out a lot in Oceanside at the time and had a little bit of that grit to it where, so anyways, we put that together. It was concepted and everything, but it wasn't until like maybe a few years back that we kind of peeled it out of the catalogs. Because once upon a time, all the Dark Seas stuff was in the Loser catalog. Even we've had t-shirts where it's Loser Machine and Dark Seas, you know,
but
it's a little, a little confusing.
Yeah,
though,
no, it's kind of your dirty take on, you know, the land and sea kind of thing. You know what I mean? Right. For Loser Machine, it's like, hey, this is, you know, whatever. And then Dark Seas, it's, you know, so anyway, so when I did end up going with the Obey camp, you know, down the line, we had decided that we would separate the catalogs, and it became its own thing.
Gotcha.
So, but
so Dark Seas is more of a surf brand.
Yeah,
or?
You know, it's weird to say, but yeah, no, it is a water thing. Where honestly, okay. It is definitely a surf brand.
Yeah,
but it's much more than that. You know what I mean? We can't be pigeonholed into that because there's so many people involved in that aren't it, including myself. Where it's just like, there has to be a skate language. There has to be certain things. We're very art driven, and it's way more like nautical driven through like flash tattoo art and old sailor type stuff. So I don't know.
Did you plan on having it more of a surf thing, or did it kind of just manifest
It has to be in the water. It has to be addressed. You know what I mean? That's the number one in the water. But for us, we never wanted to be a surf brand.
Right.
You know
what I mean?
And I still don't, you know, it is what it is. But at the same time, dude, it's like,
you're
so much more than that. So yeah, no, it's one of those things, dude. It's a gritty brand that I'm stoked on. And I think it just has like a different story language than other brands in that lane.
Right.
You know,
so, sure.
And I think feels good. It's one of those things where even though I'm not a water dude, it's like I can relate. To me, there's parts of it that it's just, it's military driven. Not saying I'm in the military, but I appreciate that kind of that vibe and you know, so.
A lot of skaters that surf, bro.
Yeah.
No, a lot of skaters that surf.
No, absolutely. No, not for sure.
You know?
I have a question. You mentioned John Alley's name a few times. What's he up to lately?
He's married now, but that dude's like, he's John Alley. You know,
dude, he came out, when he came out, he blew people's minds.
Yeah, he's John Alley. He's crazy cat. You know, he rips, but he's a very smart dude. Like, dude, he's a gnarly mechanic. Like, really? He's one of those dudes that probably should have been born to be a mechanic as well and whatever else. And he's a really smart dude. Like, so, he's doing good.
Is he skating again?
Yeah. We rolled out with him probably like 3 months ago. Like, we have like this zero group chat and shit. And he's like, he's in the mix and stuff now too. Like, rolled out with him a couple times and
will you add me to that group?
Whose number is this?
It's crazy. What I'm saying, like, I never experienced that in my day and stuff, but like, you could keep on with people's shit.
I'm telling
it is
you,
crazy
bro.
I see what's going on in the video and the whole line and stuff. But no, John Alley, dude, he's he's not, you know, he's skating here and there and sick stuff, but yeah, he left Slave not too long ago and just kind of felt like kind of, you know, yeah, just hanging out with the crew. So
no, dude, he's such a, he's a lot of skateboarders got a lot of respect for him, man. He did, he changed it. He was like the first dude to like, the flick he had in the shit was so gnarly.
Yeah, no, dude, and that's the thing with him too. It's like, if you watch him skate right now, like if you watch him skate a flat bar, he could do kick foot front tails and kick back tails and all that shit. Like,
that's sick, man.
Super rad.
Cool.
Yeah. Damn.
Yep. This is a random question. I don't usually ask about money at all, but when you have these crazy shoes that are selling like crazy, did you ever have a hard time, like, you trip out managing money when you were like a young kid growing up?
No, you know, I was actually lucky with that one too. Like, to this day, I still have the same accountant that I got hooked up with, early on. Like, it was actually introduced to me through, I think it was like Reynolds. Like, there was this one guy that it took care of everybody. It was like Reynolds, Jeff Rowley, Appleyard, Bastion, like a couple heads or whatever. Yeah. So honestly, my biggest savior was hooking up with that dude early on.
That's good.
Because like the biggest thing, and we all know, it's like they don't take taxes out of your checks and all that shit.
And you're not taught that.
No, not
as a skater
all,
growing dude, up, where, it's like
nobody teaches that in school.
It's insane. I mean, and it's one of those things where I could easily see how people would be tempted to just maybe they won't know about that. Maybe, you know, whatever. Where I was taught pretty early on, like even through Jamie, you know, he gave me good advice where like, hey, you know, paying taxes is a good problem if you pay it. You know, if you have to pay big taxes, you're making good money. And so I always made a point to you know, pay taxes and all that kind of shit. But yeah, no, number one was hooking up with that dude. Cause, I mean, I blew through a lot of money, dude. I'd fucking party my ass off like a motherfucker. But having that dude there to kind of like divvy up what, you know, whatever and whatever.
Like savings and all that stuff.
The weirdest thing to me is always like, you have to spend money to save money.
Yeah.
Isn't it's the weirdest thing. Like, well, you didn't spend enough this year. You got to spend more money. See, and it's like, what do I got? Okay, I'll buy a new TV. I'll do this.
It's funny you mention that though, like the whole tax write-off thing. Like,
can I buy money?
It's crazy.
The tax write-off thing I've never really bought into. Like, I don't know. Like, buying things because you need to, like,
get write that write-off.
I don't know. Yeah. I never bought into that. But, that was a confusing factor.
It's
that.
Crazy.
I remember, like, okay, so am I supposed to, you know, whatever, but.
Well, when you're making a lot of money, too, in your independent contractor and everything, it's like you get into the quarterlies. You know, you're paying your taxes throughout the year instead of in one big lump.
Yeah, I stuck with quarterlies. Yeah. And that was one thing where it's like, you don't want to. Whatever, and whether it's $5,000 or whatever, you know, whatever it may, the amount it may be, it just sucks having to pay after the fact when you fucking blew through all of it. So I made a point to make sure I paid quarterly.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're working a normal 9-to-5 job, they're taking money out. Yeah, it's like you're not really seeing it go. Yeah. But if you're cutting these big checks to the government,
you know,
you're like,
you know exactly what you
fuck.
Want. Fuck. Yeah, you know what you want to do with that money.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Pay your taxes,
boy. Man, it's one of those things, dude. Nobody ever tells you. Yeah. You know, they just give you a check. If you're an AM, you get $500 bucks. Here you go. And you're like, cool. Actually, you know,
I'll thank Appleyard for that. I think he was the first person. Like, I think he just mentioned it one day, and he introduced me to my guy Glenn that I did.
Perfect.
Whatever. But yeah,
Appleyard. Yeah, man. Oh,
it's my dog.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm surprised we never bumped into each other. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, no, skateboarding is such a close, fit-knit family.
I was wondering on the way up. No, it's funny. It's like, I don't think we've all had too much private time. So definitely interesting.
But here's the thing, bro. Thank you for coming, because I know that you don't really do interviews and stuff like this. You don't really have a lot of...
Like I said, I'm a fan of the show.
Thank you, bro.
Big fan of Howard Stern, and I like the format. You guys do your thing, and it's one of those things where, fuck, I was like, I could get in there.
What about, like, Prince interviews back in the day? Would you do a lot of those? Or
I do them, but it was not my thing. I don't know, like, dude, like I said early on, like I had a different program with the Zero Camp, where a lot of people, you know, they had to go to Jamie to, like, you know, like, hey, what, you know, what are you doing with your photos and that.
Okay.
For me, I like filming video parts, you know, and I think if an interview came about, I'd be stoked to have photos in the mag, but the interview part would fucking freak me out.
Wasn't your bag,
like,
huh?
Yeah, it was just kind of those things where, you know, tough one for me on that part, but...
With the skating, do the talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you paying attention to a lot that was going on back then, like other skating-wise?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I was like a skate nerd, but dude, I'm still a fan of skateboarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I mean, GX1000 video came out. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like you have a hard time fucking not.
Dude, that video was gnarly.
Being amped. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I was in Asylum's shop last Friday, and you're just watching it, and it's like, dude, it's rad to get that feeling still where it's like, holy shit, and blah, 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 whatever. So,
snowboard tricks almost.
Dude, I'm a forever fan. So I think, yeah, that's a beautiful thing about skateboarding. Like, even being a part of this zero thing, you know, where I think I trip out, like I said early on, I didn't realize what it was until after the fact or whatever. But I feel like I'm part of this, like, rad eternal thing where I could be a part of forever, you know. Totally. as long as I don't abuse it and you know, whatever, it's just like, dude, I could, you know, I could roll up the street league and hit a buddy up for a ticket for my son or whatever, you know? To me, that's rad, like to still be able to participate, you know, even being in Zero's group chat and you know, fuck, I could hop in the van anytime I want, you know. It's the Zero video that's coming out in March, like, I want shit in there, I can have some stuff. So
yeah, you should do that.
I'm cool. Yeah. You know, I'm just stoked.
You should get some clips.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's always the plan.
Right. Sick. See how that Let pans me get a out. Clip in there. We could share another Dude, video part. Yeah. Well, we can recreate our tricks from Welcome to Hell.
Let's do that. You know what I mean? Shit.
Yeah.
I'm down.
All right. The ledge I skated with Knob now, so I don't know.
So is mine.
Yeah. So is mine. Scratch that idea, dude. But listen, man, dude. Kelly, will you please, do you want some Nine Club stuff? We would love to give you some Nine Club stuff.
I'm sorry,
bro.
I did not bring a gift.
Oh,
honestly,
please.
No, bullshit. No. I took my son Levi WWE last night, Survivor Series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Staples. I'm not really that into it, but he's really into it. But I was meant to get you guys a little belt, just random.
Oh, that would
gift be. Or whatever, like a mini leather one, whatever. Yeah. But by the time we left, the line was so fucking long. Bad. I was just like, dude.
No, honestly, I
was like, I would thought even earlier on I was gonna bring like some random shit that I was like, whatever. But
oh, dude, yeah, your presence here, bro.
You being here is awesome.
Sitting in that chair is our gift.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
No, thanks for having me.
Thank you, bro. Kelly,
what size T-shirt?
Medium.
This has been great, man. Hearing about all the stories from Zero Days, everything.
I love the fact that you bought stickers from Willie Santos.
I love that.
I can't believe I said that.
I love
that. Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
During, you know, Misled Youth, thrill of it all this stuff, did you have a favorite skater? Were you looking at somebody like who?
No, for sure. I mean, Donnie Barley is definitely... number one.
Okay.
But Ricky Oyola as well.
Right.
Like, Ricky super Iola. Huge Ricky Oyola fan. Not only Eastern Exposure, but that was definitely the one that fucking sealed the deal. That's why I rode. Ricky Oyola is why I rode massive board. Even before Zero.
Okay.
I would ride, even on Entity, like 8+ boards. Not, I don't know. Maybe that was even more fucking, I don't know. For some, whatever reason, I just do the like big boards and big wheels. But when Eastern Exposure hit.
Yeah.
Everybody in that video, I was a fan of.
Okay.
Know? I don't know, maybe I'm a West Coast kid and I appreciate shit that's not really, you know, my scene, whatever, but it was fucking rad.
Two fucking great skaters, dude. Jesus Christ.
That Donnie Barley. Too.
Yeah, the Donnie Barley, I mean, dude. I like dudes that you can just even watch them push and be fucking satisfied.
And know? I mean, those are like men skating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, they're skating fast, they're skating hard, and they're fucking killing it.
Same with even Huff. Huff posted something the other day where it's just like, the way he pushes is like a fucking thoroughbred, like a fucking racehorse, where you just, it's different than everybody else.
Totally.
Yeah, cool.
Did you ever send a sponsor me video to Menace?
No, I didn't.
No?
No, dude. That was one of your favorites, bro. I wanted to so bad.
I could have hooked you up with Fabian Elamar.
I wanted that star sweater and fucking.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, bro. Got you a Nine Club coffee mug here for you. That. Look at that, huh?
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Is this a long sleeve tee?
Nice.
Boom.
Thank you.
Kelly, giving all our stuff away. Medium.
We'll lace them up.
Yeah, medium hoodie.
Good looks.
And a Nine Club beanie, dude. Do you wear beanies for
school? I do, actually.
You
do? No, okay, no, I do. Okay. Skate, yeah, okay. No, for sure.
Perfect.
Shit.
Perfect. Look at that, huh?
Appreciate it. Thank you, fellas.
Listen, if you don't, you could exchange any of that at our warehouse in the next room.
Gotcha.
You have to talk to our warehouse manager, Raj.
I'll hook you up.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Dude, Adrian Lopez, bro.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you so much.
You're the man, dude.
Thank you for coming.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with everything, bro. Everything. Get that couple tricks in that fucking.
No, no, I will.
No, I will.
That's fine. No, like I said, I'm stoked to still be part of this whole community. So
once a skater, always a skater, man.
Absolutely.
And your kid skates? He's getting a little.
He's in there. No, he's getting in there.
Okay,
no, for sure. So yeah, that's another reason too. You know what I mean?
It's does your kid know who you are?
It's funny.
Does he know who daddy is?
It's funny, dude. We went to WWE last night at Staples, and to have people still come up to me, like even in that world, it trips them out. That's what I'm saying. It was only a couple people, but it's like, he loves that shit. He loves
it. At first, was he like, daddy, what are these people?
He wants fucking John Cena, whoever, all those guys. Like, why are they, coming up to you? But he appreciates it. So it's cool.
We show him your old videos and stuff. You show him,
I have. Yeah,
okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Show him Thrill of It All, Dying to Live.
I show the Misled Youth.
No thrill of it.
No, but yeah, listen, man, you got to come to terms with that part. It was a great part.
No,
he's going to see it sooner or later. Might as well come from you.
Fair enough.